Hey, welcome back, golf enthusiasts, to Playing Through Golf Podcast. My name is William Starsvich, and I'm joined with the usual characters.
Travis White.
Chris Lopez.
Hey, and we're going to go ahead and try to kick off Season 2, Episode 1, take two, I guess. It's been a while since we've been on, because we've had two separate COVID scares, and then when we did get together for our podcast, somebody may have made a recording error.
That would be Bill.
With the microphone.
That would be Bill.
Yeah, two guys, the guy with two thumbs right here.
Yeah.
So anyway, we're going to like do a recap of the last month or so and start off with Century Tournament of Champions, which was at Kapalua Plantation Course in Hawaii. Mm-hmm. Do you guys remember who won that?
Harris English, right?
Harris English. In a playoff. It came down to 18. He birdied it. The other guy parred it.
That's too bad.
Harrison was in that event because they couldn't do the typical Tournament of Champions, yeah, which is, means if you win on tour, you get an invite.
Right.
So then they took the top, I want to say it was 35, from the FedEx points. And that's how Harris got in and then won. So he automatically qualifies for next year. Gets a two-year exemption. Oh, yeah, and then a $1.3 million payday.
That's some pocket change.
Yeah, that'll work.
Yeah, that's some pocket change.
That'll work. So we actually played that course on the simulator. I don't remember. I think Travis actually won.
Yeah, I think so.
One by a stroke.
Uh-huh. And we played it 1,000 yards shorter, and it still seemed long.
Oh, it seemed really
especially
long.
Like we didn't have the trade winds and all that. I get it, but it was tough.
But we did get into a lot of the trouble that.
Oh yeah, no, we saw some of the places they saw. So then you go to the next week, which is also in Hawaii at Wailea Country Club, in Honolulu. It's a Sony Open, and that's kind of for the ones. The guys that are, I don't want to say, they're trying to make their tour card, obviously, but they kind of also look at it as a little bit of a vacation. Mm-hmm. You don't get a lot of carryover between the Kapalua guys and the Wailea. Mm-hmm. But the Wailea, me and Travis actually played it. I think that's where you got stuck in a TV tower.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
That sucked.
Yeah, on the simulator, he took a couple shots to get out of a TV tower, and he was close, too, to beating me.
Yeah,
even before that, right? Yeah, I think you were like a stroke or two behind, and then I ended up winning by like five. But the tournament was won this year by Kevin Na. Now, that's good for Kevin Na. I mean, he's been kicking around tour a long time.
Yeah.
Like,
and he's one of the characters of the game, too.
He is.
Yeah, him walking in his butts.
Walking in his butts.
People laugh at, not laughing at him, but with him, I guess.
Yeah. Kevin Na has been around forever. Mm-hmm. And he's had moderate success. But I was going back and I'm looking at it. I'm like, Kevin Na, he's 37 years old, but he's been around a long time.
Right.
So I go back. He joined the PGA Tour in 2004.
Oh, damn, 16 years ago?
He turned pro at the age of 17.
Jesus.
Hmm.
So
I did not know that.
Yeah.
That's a nice little factoid there.
Yeah, no kidding.
Huh? Yeah, he was actually born in Seoul, Korea, but lived in the U.S. most of his life. I just thought it was crazy. Like, he won back in 2011, 2018, 2019, and then 2020, and then 2021 this year.
Well, if I remember correctly, he kind of came out as kind of prickly.
Very.
Yeah.
Very
prickly in his early part of his career. And I think one of the things that I think loosened him up, I think, was when he took, I don't know, it was a huge score.
Oh, the 16.
Yeah, the 16, it was a...
Pinehurst?
I can't remember.
It was in Houston, I thought.
Oh, maybe it was. Maybe it was.
I think it was in Houston. It was, and he got into those prickly bushes, and it took him forever to get out of there. And at that time, it was the PGA record.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I think Daly broke at the Classic, but...
His caddy kept telling him, just pick up the ball and go back. And, no, I can hit it out of here.
Yeah. No, well, no, you can't. Yeah. But he tries.
He tries.
I mean, like, you want to talk about, like I said, Andy is a character.
Yeah.
And I think he's fairly well-liked now.
Yeah.
But back then, I don't think so much.
I think, does he have the same caddy? Because, I mean, he ripped into that guy early in his career. I mean, he blamed him for everything.
Well, here's a, so he's been on tour for, damn near 30 years, right?
Right.
Career earnings, $34.6 million.
That's not bad.
And that's career earnings, so that doesn't take in sponsorships and all that other stuff.
Yeah.
But I was one of those that I'm like, Kevin Na, yeah, he used to be a dick, but not as much anymore.
Yeah.
And we all are different from when we were 18, 19, 20, mm-hmm, especially to now 37. I kind of feel good for him now.
Yeah. Well, like, I think he's kind of like one of Tiger's boys, too, now.
Yeah, kind of coming into his own a little bit.
You know, just he just kind of hangs, you know, they all kind of hang together and tease each other. And of course, the whole walking in the putts thing that he does is pretty funny. I mean,
and the Tiger even mimicked it on one of them when they were playing together. Yeah.
So, I mean, I think he's become a little more, I mean, he's definitely matured.
Yeah, I would agree with you.
Matured, so.
Well, you got to think, when he came out, when he first turned pro, I mean, Tiger's, what, maybe 5 or 6 years older than him?
Yep.
Well, Tiger went through the Stanford thing, and Tiger was famous before he was even at Stanford in the golf world because of his three junior AMs and then his three AMs.
Right.
But then when he went to college, too, he even ramped it up a little more and played in all these, you know, exemptions.
Right.
So they would have been turning pro at about the same time.
Right.
So they've been on tour together for the last 30 years.
Yeah.
I mean, that's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think he's, you know, at that point in his career where he's like, you know what, I'm not going to win every week and things like that, so I'm going to enjoy this.
No, the glory of making the cut is realizing you're a professional golfer. Of course they want to win, but the idea of being a professional is to make money while you're doing it.
Yeah, well, look at Ricky. I mean, hasn't really won shit.
Ricky is struggling.
He's actually gone past Spieth in terms of struggling.
Oh, we'll
talk about him later. I'm sure. But,
yeah, no, it's,
you know,
for
he's absolutely in a different world right now. But, I mean, you see him, but he's doing it right. I mean, he's doing the commercials. He's being seen. He's well-liked.
Yep.
You know, he's still the guy that will meet you at the end if you've won and things like that.
I mean, no, he hasn't changed as a person. It's just, and, yeah, we are going to get into him because there's some other things that I think he's changed recently that is not a good idea for him.
No.
But, okay, so then we leave the glorious state of Hawaii. Okay, so just full disclosure, right now we are in Illinois, and it is, what, six below right now?
Six below.
And 20-something below with wind chill. So we're really hating on all these guys that have been out at West.
Yeah, it's cold.
So then it was a PGA West Stadium course in La Quinta, California, for the American Express.
That was a nice course.
That was
nice. And they
had a good course.
That's one of those that they play multiple courses on, too, when they have the Pro-Am going.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like, they'll have a couple different courses there at PGA West. I want to say at PGA West, I think there's five courses. You know, there's like the Nicklaus, the Palmer, the, you know, all the legends have it. But that was, Siwoo Kim won that one.
Siwoo!
Yeah, which also a South Korean golfer. And I want to say he's 25, but $1.2 million for winning that. Mm-hmm. And again, the two-year
tour exemption. I can see why guys play on this West Coast swing.
Right?
Because there's some serious purses going on there.
Right, yeah. It is too.
Mm-hmm.
So the biggest part for me of that first 3 weeks of the tour was great having the tour back. I know it's a one-off for the Century Tournament of Champions to not have the FedEx points guys. They're going to have the regular winning again.
Right.
But we had such a limited schedule. Like, Trevor, what do you say? There would have been 12 guys there or something.
Yeah.
Nobody wants that.
Nobody wants that.
So
I think it was 12. They didn't play, well, obviously they didn't play very much last year, but...
Yeah, and yet if there's multiple winners, they take up two spots.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So it's cool to see Kevin Na win. It was cool to see Harris English win, because I don't think he had won in 7 years, maybe, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that he can now set his schedule for the next 2 years, play the courses that fit his eye, which Kapalua is clearly one of them, he can now maybe get some... the ball rolling,
Uh-huh.
And Kevin Na, hey, man, you won a PGA event again. That's 2 years in a row.
Yeah.
Good for you. It's really your profession now, but it took him a minute to get it all together.
Well, and he knows how to finish now.
Yeah.
And, I mean, there's been a number of times where he was in contention and just, you know.
Fiddled away.
Yeah, it's kind of like where Tony Finau is.
Yeah.
Finau will play three rounds of really great golf. And I think he's a factor in all these tournaments.
He has been.
Yeah,
he's been
a factor in all these tournaments, but he can't finish.
Right. Which, I don't know how... Is Finau... He's not 30 years old yet, is he?
No, God, no.
27.
He's in his 27? Mid-20s, yeah.
And he's one of those that I still think has got all kinds of game.
Yeah. I mean, he's at the Ricky point where now he's the next great one to win a tournament.
You would think.
You know.
And I think once he wins... He'll win multiple, not in a row, but
here's one where quite possibly the Masters could be his first.
I think that course suits him. Yeah, suits him a little bit.
Yeah, suits him real nicely.
It's going to suit him better in the spring than it did in the winter.
Yeah.
So, anyway, that's kind of the recap of the first 3 weeks. we haven't gotten in as much practice here at the studio as we would like. Me and Travis have played a couple times. Chris was out for, you know, a week and a half, 2 weeks
yep.
with getting back to school and
COVID
the COVID thing
yep.
At his house. So it's good to at least be back together doing this. Mm-hmm. We are going to play today. I think we're either doing Pebble or Spanish Bay or Spyglass.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, we'll go into the next one here is the Farmers Insurance Open, which is at Torrey Pines, the South Course. It says here San Diego. It's actually in La Jolla. The purse for that thing by Farmers Insurance is $7.5 million for the purse, right? The overall.
So in other words, you could finish 60 and still make some good bank.
Oh, yeah, you're going to make cash.
Who was the golfer that said that?
You make the cut, man. You're good.
Yeah. He's like, yeah, it's nice to win tournaments. Mm-hmm. But if you make the cut, I still get a good chunk of change.
Curtis Strange had a kind of a notorious interview with, I don't want to say notorious.
Infamous
would be better.
Yeah, infamous.
With Tiger Woods when Tiger was first coming out. Mm-hmm. And Tiger's talking about, no, I'm coming out here to win, man.
Yeah.
I don't care about making cuts. Because it was when he first started his cut streak, which Tiger has the longest cuts made mm-hmm. streak in PGA history.
Which I don't think will ever be broken.
No, I don't think it can. I don't know how you could.
I don't know how you could do it.
No. 142 in a row?
Yeah, something like that. I mean, something just so far
and
out there.
Rory's the next closest one with 25.
Yeah, is it?
Yeah.
That would actually, seems like it would make sense.
Yeah.
So he's interviewing with Curtis Strange when Tiger, I think he might have been his first year out, mm-hmm. or maybe after he won the Masters or something like that. And Curtis Strange is like, oh, well, hey, you've made X amount of cuts in a row. And Tiger's like, I don't care. I'm here to win. Yeah. I don't care about making cuts. And Curtis Strange goes, well, that'll change. And Tiger at 20 years old is like, nah, bro, it ain't going to change.
No.
And that kind of just shows you the mentality of Tiger Woods.
Well, in his early years.
I mean, yeah, right? And now it's... Mm-hmm. And after he won the Masters, I know I'm going on a tangent here with Tiger, but he was able to then set his schedule and peak for the majors like Jack did.
Right.
Jack didn't play in a lot of events.
No.
But talking about being close and not winning, Jack has the record for second place finishes in majors.
Right.
That's telling you how well he plays in the majors.
Right.
And he couldn't finish them all, but if you're in contention, you're going to win your share
right.
if you're a guy like that.
Right.
Yep.
So anyway... which, speaking of majors, Torrey Pines South will be the host of the U.S. Open this year. Do you guys remember who won at that?
I'm trying to remember now.
It's one of everybody's favorite golfers.
Oh, Patrick Reed.
Patrick?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
D-bag.
That was the one where we were all texting each other going, oh, this guy's a tool.
Oh, yeah. So...
And he cheated.
Well, we're going to get to that. The major thing with this, Patrick Reed, for his efforts, air quoted... He got $1.3 million for winning there. And a 2-year exempt, which he doesn't really need.
Should I give him $1.3 not to play?
Yeah, right? Like I think if you were to go through the golfing community and do a GoFundMe,
mm-hmm.
what would it take for us to not have Patrick Reed represent us in the Ryder Cup? Because I'm willing to pay it.
Absolutely.
I will write a check. Because
yeah.
mm-hmm. So the major thing that happened at this, I want to say it was on Saturday.
Yep.
He missed a green left into some long turf, and they'd had a lot of rain there.
Yep.
But the ball went, you saw it bounce going forward, so it didn't land at its own pitch mark.
Right.
And then it drops in and settles to the bottom.
Right.
So he's about green high, but off in the left.
Yep.
Right.
Well, he goes up, finds his golf ball, picks it up, and then starts feeling around down there with his thumb.
Yep.
Tosses the golf ball off to the side and then calls for a rules official.
Yeah.
They come over. The rules official, he says, oh, no, it was embedded in there. Well, it couldn't have been embedded because we saw it bounce,
right.
first of all. And then he's traipsing all over that place before the rules official gets there.
Yep.
And then he shows him, and the rules official reaches down and says he feels an indentation, so that's where the ball was. He gets a drop,
mm-hmm.
and then he's able to get up and down. I'm not saying that was the difference in the tournament, but if I came in second by a stroke... Me and Patrick Reed would be having words in the parking lot.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea would be to loosen feelings because that dude is just...
It's right. shady.
It's very shady.
You're talking about people's pocketbooks and their livelihood and providing for their families. And I know we're talking about huge numbers here.
Yeah.
But there's guys that aren't on those exempt lists. There's guys that aren't making tons of money. And this guy potentially took money away from somebody else
right.
because he's a cheating douchebag.
Well, and the guys playing with him didn't say anything.
No.
But they said after the round, there was a lot of talk in the clubhouse of what he did just between the guys. Yeah. The
right. But see, that's there's a difference there. I mean, it's one thing to talk in the pro, in the you know.
There's another one at Cajones to go up and question somebody to their face.
There was a story over the weekend about Joel Dahman coming in with, I can't remember that Korean player's name, but he had, you know, Joel Dahman on the course said, that's bullshit. You know, this you cheated on this shot. And they argued about it for like 10 minutes on the hole, finished the hole, and then sat, and then it carried on into the parking lot. They got teamed up for the first time in 5 years this weekend. And, you know, and he rolled up, and the Korean player said, he goes, my boys say I should shove you off a cliff right now. You know, it's kind of a joke, you know, because it's still been ongoing. There's been little chips at each other about him cheating, and I think this is the same case. I mean, if Reed had been playing with Joel Dahman, I guarantee you Joel Dahman would have called him out and said, this is not right.
Yeah, it just, and his history is.
He goes back to college.
Yeah, you can't give him the benefit of the doubt because he's already used up that. Any capital he had, it's used up, bro. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, everybody saw the one in the bunker.
Right.
Everybody saw it.
Oh, yeah.
So, it's a faux pas, and it's at a great course. And then you know it was somebody that was there with him at the end when he was interviewing, because then they yelled Captain America, which makes me want to throw up.
Yeah.
Because you know this asshole's going to make the Ryder Cup. And
it just irritates us.
It does.
It just irritates us to no end.
I'd rather take Ricky Fowler on the Ryder Cup right now.
You know you're a dick when Jordan Spieth won't play with you.
Right?
You know you're a dick. You know, because Jordan Spieth's one of the nicest guys on tour.
Yeah, he'll play with anybody.
He'll play with anybody, but he won't play with him because he's such an asshole.
Oh, and he is, too.
Yeah.
Like, I just...
Anyway. Talking to the reporter, when she asked him about it...
He's just incredulous.
I did absolutely nothing wrong.
Yeah,
he's just like, incredulous.
I was thinking to myself, aren't you supposed to wait for the rules official to come up? You don't touch the ball, right?
Right, and then you don't manipulate it with your hand.
Right.
Well even Nick Faldo was having issues.
Oh, yeah.
He was definitely having issues. Now, all those guys were.
If you were in the 80s and Nick Faldo was with you, you would have definitely heard it.
Yeah.
And who's the other one that does a lot of the announcing?
Chambly?
No, not Brandel Chambly. Even though he probably would have too.
He made the issue of it on his show and on his podcast.
He does the commentating. He was on this last week's. I think he was a Ryder Cup captain a few years ago. He's won a couple majors. Anyway, doesn't matter. But he's one of those really fiery guys.
Yeah.
And he made comment, this was years ago, about when a player went ahead of his group because the player was so slow in his group. It was Crane that was so slow.
Oh, yeah.
And it was the dude from University of Arizona that you're not a big fan of.
Oh, God. Rory Sabatini.
Rory Sabatini. Oh. Rory Sabatini was like, I've had enough of this asshole. I'm not waiting anymore. So he just started walking.
Yeah.
Like, he's out there, and the guy's still on the tee fidgeting with his clubs, and he's 200 yards up there before he hit. And he goes, yeah, this Crane is kind of a, you know, he's got to speed it up. He's got to do whatever. But I tell you what, if Rocco was my playing mate, he'd be cleaning the dirt off his white pants right now.
Yeah.
He's kind of a fiery guy.
Yeah.
But anyway, speaking of Rocco, he's been playing pretty good too.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right.
That guy with no back.
Yeah, right?
That guy has no back. I mean, he's like in Freddy territory. I mean, they just have nothing left.
Yeah, poor Freddy. So we'll go forward another week, which was the Waste Management Phoenix Open at TPC Scottsdale in Scottsdale, Arizona.
Fun tournament.
That one was a great one to watch. And even if they didn't have the loudest show on grass up on the 16th. Mm-hmm. It was still fun to watch. And the final day of that was huge. But before we get to the final day, who was in contention for that?
The return of Jordan Spieth.
Right.
I've been waiting for it.
He played, I can't remember if he had three rounds in the 60s there.
Yep. Had a hellacious Saturday.
Yeah. He was so close. And it was so good to see. And you could tell how everybody was pulling for him.
Yep, right.
And he did.
I was.
I was too. Until they got to the back nine. And then I couldn't help but root for Brooks Koepka.
Well, yeah.
Because he's coming off injury, off surgery.
Well, and let's face it. He doesn't really play tournaments like this very often.
No.
Just because he's back into, he's into his majors thing. He's doing the Tiger gig. But he's trying to get his butt back in gear. And what better way to do it than by winning this
tournament? He had wrist surgery and something else.
Yeah.
And part of the dramatics of it, tees off on 17, misses the green to the right, which 17 is a drivable par 4, with water left and a little bit short. Mm-hmm. So he misses it to the right, and I'm not even going to call it miss because that's where you probably need to should go.
Right.
And then he...
just chips it in.
Chips it in for an eagle.
Yeah. From what was that, about 65, 75?
Yeah, probably...
I want to say around... Yeah, it was 60. Yeah, I
maybe, yeah, maybe inside of 65, but it was still...
It was impressive. Well, I mean,
beautiful. Because on the ridges...
Yeah, all the ridges and everything.
Yeah, no, it was great. He comes in, wins it. Like, you could tell that he just had a different gear on the back nine when he needed to.
Yep.
And that's kind of his major pedigree, I guess.
Say, that's what I like about him. Yeah. Once he gets in a groove, it doesn't
matter. Forget it, man.
Yeah, even if the turk, he's only up by a stroke or something, he'll pull drive around when he doesn't have to.
Right.
And he's a big ball hitter. I want to say he's still in the top 10 for mm-hmm. driving distance. He looks like a linebacker out there playing football. Yeah, right. I mean, he's a big dude.
He's a big dude.
But what you kind of forget about with him, it's not just power. Mm-hmm. He can putt. He's got a good short game, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was good to see him win again, even though I know he's won a lot.
Right.
But coming off injury,
like basically being, and he missed the last two or three cuts, I think. So good to see, even though one of the cuts was, they celebrated it by his wife feeding him grapes while she's wearing some slinky little bikini on the beach.
Oh, yeah.
Remember, you guys see that picture?
Was he wearing a onesie or something?
Yeah, he was wearing like
a Hawaiian shirt and something, wasn't he?
Like a onesie.
And she's wearing like a bikini with like some, like, seat or a mesh stuff over it kind of thing. Like, you know, the poor bastard.
You have to give him credit because he's done that a couple times with a couple tournaments in the last year or so.
Yeah.
Where he's like, all right, I didn't make the cut, but guess who's feeding me grapes?
Yeah, I ain't got a bad gig, bro. So. Yeah,
what she kind of given. She gave Tiger the stink eye.
It wasn't the stink eye. It was the sploosh eye.
Oh, my gosh. This is Tiger's sploosh.
Yeah. She's literally, like, all catty. Anyway. We digress. So, it was good to see that. Brooks winning, yes, I was happy about. But Jordan playing well throughout the week was really, really good to see.
And I couldn't help, and especially after this last weekend, you know, you're starting to see the people that you expect to contend at the Masters get their games
in order.
Get their games in gear.
Yeah.
So this literally, this Masters could be an absolute
barn
burner.
I think it's going to be really good.
Absolutely a burn burner.
And I want to say, I heard they're going to do 50% fans there.
Yeah.
So that'll be good.
Mm-hmm.
They had fans at TPC Scottsdale.
Yeah.
It was like 3,000.
Yeah, you know that place has the record for amount of fans over a weekend?
Yeah, oh, God. I can't even imagine.
I can't remember what it is, but it's the record.
There's also some famous videos of people coming out of that place just stumbling out.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're so hammered.
Oh, yeah.
I would not be one of them.
Well, you would have drank as much as you know,
when they would be stumbling. When they open the gates there for the waste management in Scottsdale, they run to try to get to 16.
Yep.
Can't people, do that Augusta.
Yeah.
They'll throw you out.
Yeah, you have to walk.
That's
what
you're
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You see people you like run. Speed walking.
Yeah.
Like, you know how the Olympic speed walkers go?
They will throw you out.
Yeah. That's true story. Cool. So that takes us up to this last weekend's tournament, which just finished yesterday. The AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am, which it wasn't so much of a spectacle because when they have all the celebrities out there and they bring in celebrities.
Yeah, you're talking the Bill Murrays of the world.
Oh. Right.
You know. Everybody from Hollywood.
And that's how the American Express, the PGA West one, used to be.
Yeah.
Like, it used to be called, it wasn't the Bing Crosby. I think the Bing Crosby was Pebble Beach.
Pebble Beach.
Anyway, it was a huge event. And they had all kinds of players out there. But so this year, a little bit different thing about the Pebble Beach Pro-Am, it's not strictly at Pebble Beach. Mm-hmm. On Thursday and Friday, half the players will play Pebble Beach on Thursday.
Yep.
The other half will play Spyglass.
Right.
And then the next day they switch. And that's similar to what they do at...
And Spyglass is where you're supposed to get your score.
Yes.
That's where you're supposed to get your score. You know?
And this week, it kind of led to Jordan playing well
right.
because the conditions were a little tougher at Pebble when he played Spyglass.
Right.
But he didn't play Pebble bad the first
time. He didn't play... No. Don't confuse that with... But the conditions were tougher.
Tougher, yeah.
But he still shot... First day, which was Pebble for him, mm-hmm. shot a 65, and then he follows it up with a 67 at the other course.
Right.
And then I want to say it was a 70 on or 71 on day 3.
Mm-hmm.
And then Sunday, I think he was even somewhere around
he's
there.
Even. I think he was even.
But it's still, he got a third place finish. So he got a top 5 finish and a top.
And he didn't fold.
No.
No.
Because there were people actually betting, you know, online betting was saying that he was going to fold. Others were putting him as winning, and of course, don't fail me, but you can't be mad if he didn't win, but still got a top five such as yesterday. Right. I mean, his game's obviously come back. His short game is insane.
Right.
I mean, he putt like a madman.
Yeah. Yeah, he just needs to get the driver under control.
Yep.
Because there was so many yesterday, that's what kind of cost him going low, is he was hitting out of the rough there, which wasn't
awful.
Yeah, super, I'm going to say penal. And then
he said penal.
But he was hitting the greens afterwards, which was huge. And it wasn't a mental error like the guy who was tied for the lead on number 16.
Four-putted.
Lashley.
Right. Oh, God.
And that dude.
From 14 feet.
Dude.
He three-putted from 3 feet.
I seriously thought that was going to be a broken putter.
And the guy's mannerisms were off-putting to me. Mm-hmm. And then when he slammed his putter into the green, like it was the green's fault that he just three-jacked from 3 feet.
Yeah.
Dude.
Yeah. Put the big boy pants on.
Yeah, right?
Seriously. Come on. I mean, we've all been there.
Small four-putter inside 15 feet.
Those kinds of greens, I'm pretty sure I would have putted
the same way. The slope on those. And they were saying they weren't as fast as usual. But the slope on them, and a lot of guys don't like the POA greens.
Right.
But there was a couple young kids on that one that I was really impressed with. Daniel Berger is who won it, and a nice cool $1.4 million.
And he, of course, hits a nice dramatic shot on the 18th hole.
Right. 18th is one of the best holes ever designed. It's par 5.
Mm-hmm.
It gently dog legs to the left the whole way. But if you miss it left, there's a small water hazard, you know, called the Pacific Ocean.
Yeah.
Right there. That
rocks.
Rocks that'll kick it out.
I mean, and a cliff.
And then there's, on your tee shot, if you bail away too far, you can go out of bounds, mm-hmm. you know, by the cypress tree and the bunker on the right. But that guy hit is a great tee shot. And then I want to say he had 240 and it stuck a 3-iron into like 20 feet.
Yeah.
And then made the eagle putt.
Yeah, after taking a 7 the day before.
Yeah.
On the hole, that same hole. I mean, that would be hard for me winning it. You know, you have a potential.
Well, he hit it out of bounds the day before.
And then, and I mean, he had a horrible hole the day before. And I'm thinking, how do you not think about that as you're trying to win a tournament?
Yeah, have that in the back of your mind.
Yeah, I mean, I would have hooked one right into the
ocean. Oh, I would have too.
I would have hooked it right into the ocean.
I don't know if I would have hooked it, but it would have went that way.
Yeah, it would. Well, yeah, how much are you going to try to bite off on that?
Well, and I think, you know, you also had some great lines from some players that struggled. Like Phil, the first 2 days, played like absolute dog crap.
Yep.
And I remember the one, I think he ended up taking a 7 on 18, and he just said, he took a 9.
Yeah, because he put 2 in the water.
Yeah, he goes, that's a 9, whoever he was playing with. He goes, that's a 9. He goes, I'm really tearing up the par 5s today. You know, and I mean, it's just little things like that. The one commentator, Jason Sobel, said, Phil's at that point now where you're looking forward to the drinks at the end of the round.
Right.
He's playing like he's looking forward to the end of the drink, looking for drinks at the end of the round.
So this is what Jordan Spieth did. 65 day one, 67, 71, 70. So he was 2 under on the final day, but those all came in the last few holes.
Last 2 holes.
He would go birdie bogey on the front, then bogey birdie. Mm-hmm. So he was like hovering around even when most of these other guys, like Berger, he went 7 under for the day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So to do that,
I mean, Jordan would have had to pull one out of the hat to beat that.
Yeah.
I mean, he just wasn't going to shoot a 66.
Which is what Maverick McNealy did. Did you guys hear any of the commentary about him?
He used to live right on the course.
On number 15.
Yeah.
Really? Like, they lived there. And I don't know what his
dad's like butt rich.
They've got to be.
Yeah, his dad's got a bank. His dad owns a business. And they said that Maverick actually had looked forward to being in his dad's business and not being a golfer, but it just worked out that he was a golfer.
Yeah.
So he lives on Pebble Beach. He wasn't able to go play there until he turned 16, and that was a birthday present for his 16th birthday.
Yeah, it costs like $550 to golf
there. To golf there?
Yeah.
I know Torrey Pines was in that $240 range.
$250.
Now, Pebble Beach, which is, you can go play it.
Yeah, for $550.
Well, not only that, but then I've heard that you got to grease the starter. Like, the starter gig there is like super in demand because, hey, just because.
In what way, Bill?
Yeah, well, the best way possible with money. Just like everybody else. Well, almost everybody else. Apparently, there's maybe some congressman that you don't need to grease with money, but. But Maverick McNealy, he really impressed me with not only the way he played,
mm-hmm.
but when you hear that, like, okay, this kid grew up with literally number 15 at Pebble Beach mm-hmm. right out his door. You know he didn't struggle, is it? But his
he went to Stanford.
Yeah, his mental makeup seems like it was there.
Yeah.
And he shot a 68, 69, 69, 66 damn, at Pebble. Sick. Now, that's awesome. Cantley didn't do so hot on that day, and he was probably the highest ranked player in that final day. But guess who else finished in the top five? Which really surprised me. But he's been playing lights out so far this year. And I think it's Ryder Cup associated too, but not necessarily American team. Paul Casey. Paul Casey
he's
won.
He's been hanging around a lot though.
And he won in Dubai.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's right.
So. Yeah. He's tearing it up.
Yeah.
Now it wasn't surprising. He played well at Scottsdale too. Mm-hmm. That didn't surprise me because he lives in Scottsdale.
Right.
But they said that he's really cranked it up because he is so amped up for the Ryder Cup.
Right.
Like but he wants not? To be selected, and
it's a good reason to play.
Yeah. So anyway, there's a couple other things besides Patrick Reed and the cheating ass that he is. I wanted to cover another thing that was brought up over the last few weeks, and that is they're going to allow rangefinders.
Oh
stupid.
God!
Stupid.
I agree. I don't understand the need for this.
I don't either.
Now, is it going to be on all PGA events or just in the PGA Championship?
I thought there was three tournaments.
I thought there was at least three tournaments.
It was the
I
PGA,
didn't think it was all of them, though.
The Northern Trust, maybe? Or did they have that one already?
No, the Northern Trust. Isn't that next week?
I just remember seeing something like that. I know it's three for sure.
Well, yeah, they got Riviera next week.
And PGA was the first one that it'll be allowed at.
I'm struggling to understand why.
Yeah,
me too. I don't... That's what you got your caddies for. That's what you get the yardage books for. And all
yeah, no,
the
it's...
beginning of the week. So I don't...
You're playing it four times. The courses are well-marked. The caddies are well-versed. It's not like... I could understand it if it's a course that they've never had an event at. But, no, I can't even see that.
Well, I don't like the argument that it's going to speed up the game, only for the mere fact they're not just going to be aiming that thing at the flag.
Because no, it's not going to...
They're going to aim it at the front. They're going to aim it at the back. They're going to aim it to the side. They're going to aim it... 50 yards. I mean, they're going to aim it all over the
yeah, no,
place.
Off the tee, they're going to take, okay, if you want to play a draw here to carry this, it's going to be 210 to that. That tree's 40 feet. It's to the top of that tree.
They have that in their yardage 250.
Yeah, no, all that garbage. And if you think that, you know, the rangefinders we have now, they take elevation, they'll take barometric pressure, they'll take all these things into consideration
right.
to give you yardages. The exact yard. Okay, this is 121.
Right.
But with everything, and this is all done in your handheld, you need to hit it 132 yards with the wind and elevation and all that.
Right.
Those guys will do that.
Right.
Yeah.
Right? And that's what their caddies are for.
Right.
You know, their caddies already do that stuff for them.
Yeah, I'm not feeling that too much.
Yeah, so, I think it's going to be a big waste.
I mean, we use it only for the mere fact that we don't have yardage books. We don't have all those things, and we do need to know at least the distance of the pin at
right.
the very least.
Or we have...
And you guys have, guys have seen, I have a rangefinder in my bag.
I got one too.
Have you guys ever seen me pull out a rangefinder?
Twice.
And I usually, if you're with me,
I'll ask you. Yeah.
But other than that, mm-hmm.
I usually have mine out before you have yours out. And you're like, all right, what's the yardage?
Right.
And if I didn't. We do it for each other. I mean, we don't.
Right.
I don't know. It's one of those things that I don't really ever think about a whole lot.
I just don't see it speeding up the game.
I use my rangefinder for deer hunting.
And when you have your
golf buddy thing
is GPS, I never ask about what it is to the front. I always what's the back of the green,
right?
Because that's all right. If I pure this, I might get it to the back or
right.
miss hit it. At least hopefully I'll be on the front.
Right.
So anyway, I don't understand that. These caddies are making a tenth of the winnings typically. Mm-hmm. Some of them have different deals, but
right.
So when I say that, if a player. Wins $100,000, his caddy's getting a tenth of that.
Right.
So, $10,000, thanks, I appreciate it.
Yep.
So, when Steve was caddying for Tiger all those years, when he won all those majors, think about how much money that dude made.
No kidding.
Think about what Greller makes with Spieth. He was a teacher. And now he's paid for, I don't know how many different things. All those guys, Fluff.
Bones.
Bones, Fluff. I mean, all those guys... the guy that was with Tom Watson before he died.
Those
guys made some serious money.
Right.
I can't remember his name.
Yeah, and
but they were together a long time.
Yeah, I mean, you've seen all these different guys that have caddied over the years, and I don't think any of them are bad off.
No.
I mean, they all, and if you're good at what you do, you're in demand.
Yeah, and a 10th was kind of the going rate, but a lot of these guys, like Bones, had a different deal too.
Right.
And I think Steve did too. But
I'm sure they. I'm sure once you get a few years in and a few majors in, you're going to...
You're going to a little bit more.
Yeah, you're going to reevaluate. I think a lot of that's on the golfer because they said Spieth just redid Grellers without even asking. He just said, I'm going to give him this much money every year. So
what about Kuchar?
Dude, seriously.
I'd have to be at a 12.5%. Just, the dude seems so nice, but
he's cheap. Oh, he's cheap.
You know he's not.
He's cheap.
So anyway, the only other thing I really wanted, we'd heard about the clothing or the apparel thing.
Oh, we were going to talk about this.
And I haven't really looked at a whole lot into it, but I wanted to say hoodies.
Hoodies.
Oh, I'm just going to say hoodies.
Dude, come on. They got to let it go.
Right.
What did they say that this week? They said they counted 22 hoodies on, in the round on Pebble on Friday, and people were complaining.
If you were to look at, I can't remember where the U.S. Open for the women was played this year.
Oh, God, yeah. Where was that at?
Texas.
It was in Texas, but it was cold. Yeah, remember? Yeah. I want to say 90% of them were wearing hoodies.
Yeah.
It just...
They never
bitch
about the women's...
No.
No.
Well, unless it's too tight or too short.
Yeah, other than that, but I mean...
And then that's only a Karen that does that.
And seriously.
I've never complained once.
Say, I don't complain. No, absolutely not. Tighter the better.
On some of them. On some of them.
Did you see Annika's coming back?
Oh, that's another thing. I totally forgot about that.
I just popped in my head.
What has it been?
2007 was the last time she... Or 2008 was the last time.
So, what are we saying? 14 years or whatever that is?
Something like that.
That is amazing. And I was wondering if maybe that was... She was going to do something like that when she played in the PNC.
Oh, right.
The father-son, in her case, the daughter-daddy thing. And she played pretty well, which... Mm-hmm. Her swing is never going to falter.
No.
You
know what I mean? It's like so rhythmic.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's awesome, and I...
Well, and they said that she's playing because they're playing on the course that she lives on.
Right.
And that she wants her kids
to see her play competitively.
I can't remember when it is.
I don't know.
Next month or April, maybe?
I'll look up some more stuff about it.
How huge a story would that be if she actually won that thing?
No kidding.
Dude, I tell you, right, with...
That'd be up there with Tiger, I think.
It would
winning
be.
A tournament. Yep. I think that would be up there with
It'd be up there with Jack winning in his 40s at Augusta.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to look into that a little bit more, and I do want to dive deeper into it. Because
we need to.
She is far and away the most dominant female player I'd ever seen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't remember what her major count is.
She was the equivalent of Steffi Graf in tennis.
For sure.
You know, Martina in tennis. I mean, they just have...
Lorena Ochoa didn't win more majors than she did.
No, but she was also... She was dominant, but not nearly as dominant as...
It was a dominant run for like 5 years for Lorena Ochoa, and then she just decided to hang it up.
Yep.
But, no, that's something I want to get into more next time. I know we've kind of ran a little long on this one, but you guys got anything else?
I'm just saying, you know what? Wear a hoodie if you want to wear a hoodie.
Yeah, wear a goddamn hoodie. I don't understand.
I got one on.
Yeah.
What was I said? I've said we were going to get one, but...
Let's
fucking
come back
Tiger
to that one.
When he was wearing the mock, they were saying, "Oh, that's not a collar." Well, guess what? That is a collar. Sometimes the USGA or the PGA, they don't have anything better on their hands.
That's the old fuddy duddies. I mean, you go out onto a course now, you know, anywhere. I don't care. I mean, they tell you to wear a collared shirt, but do they tuck it in? No.
No,
you know, shorts are all sorts of different lengths.
Yeah.
Right? So.
Anyway, all right. That's all I got. Anything else?
No, good.
Well, let's play some golf.
All right, let's keep it in the short grass.
God, no wonder you drank all weekend.
Oh, dude.
No wonder
Saturday morning, I cracked beer at 9:30.
Jesus.
And I didn't go to bed till 10 o'clock.
Attaboy. And how many beers in was that?
I bet you I put a 30 down.
You put a 30 down? Dude, I couldn't put a 30 down in a year.